Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. It is time for our regular weekly visit with Tom E. Curran, NBC Sports Boston. Tom's brought to you by Dr. Robert Leonard and Dr. Matthew Lopresti, the hair doctors of Tom E. Curran at 1-800-GET-HAIR. Hello, Tom. Oh, hold on, I got to hit this again. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I am tremendous, Dale. How are you? Hello, Richard.
Hello, Thomas.
I got to give credit where credit is due, man. You put some work into this big column that came out yesterday. A throw-by-throw analysis of Tom Brady's entire game on Sunday. We'll get into more specifics, but in general, what letter grade would you have given Brady's game on Sunday?
C. When you watched it, it wasn't as bad. A C to even a C+, because when he did have the opportunity to make throws, he made throws. It's just those opportunities were few and far between. But it certainly wasn't an F, which I think was the resounding opinion of folks, both media and fans. And mine was probably closer to a D before I sat there and watched every one of the 43 dropbacks.
Now, one of the things that I feel like the national media has really jumped onto is arm strength. Is that a problem at all for him? Because I know he's never been known for having the strongest arm in the league, and it hasn't been a problem for him. Is that something you've noticed at all, or is it a bunch of other things?
It's a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
It wasn't exhibited as badly as I thought it was on Sunday. For instance, the one throw that really bugged me in terms of strength was the downfield throw to Gordon, in which on first watch it looked like he underthrew him by 15 yards. And it looked to me, look, he's not trying to underthrow him and get rid of it, as Dan Fouts said. He was trying to deliver it. But then when I watched it and watched it back and then with the coaches film and everything else, what happened was Gordon was basically the only guy on the route. He's running down the numbers one-on-one. He's got inside leverage on the left-hand side, and there's a safety that's coming over. So Brady, flat-footed plenty of time on one of the rare occasions, kind of gave him the thumb, go that way, meaning go to the right, cut across the face of the safety who's approaching, and you'll have nothing but, you know, 30 yards of space to work in, and I can throw it out there. Gordon didn't see it, and my feeling is that Brady just threw it where he wanted him to be. So, but there were other throws too. The two throws to Gordon on the sideline on which he slipped and the other one that went through his hands, both of those were insanely high. And I had an argument as to whether or not they were catchable anyway. They shouldn't be that high. That looked like footwork to me on Brady's part. And the throw to James White, this was the other egregious one I thought on first watch. James White, the second drive, coming off the right edge, right boundary, into the middle, and Brady threw it behind him. Like, well, how the hell do you do that? Well, you do that because Marcus Cannon gets pushed like a shopping cart into your front door.
When you watched and broke down every single play, did it appear to you, as it has to us, that he just doesn't even look at Chris Hogan most of the time?
Yes. He doesn't get to his second read. And I remember doing a story similar to this in 2014, prior to the Kansas City game. It was after the Raiders game. Remember that game? I think it was 13-9, ugly game. It was only one touchdown. The rest was all field goals. And Brady was getting beat up. There was a key interception by Vince Wilfork in that game. And I looked at every throw because there was, at that time as well, Brady's ill. People have to remember that Kansas City game when we asked the question, he played like ass prior to that as well. And that, too, was protection. He wasn't getting to his second read. Chris Hogan, to me, is a complimentary player. He's a player that guys forget about defensively, or he needs a while to separate. It's not a huge slight on him, but on occasions when Brady won't have the time to get to Chris Hogan, he's not even going to bother. And you know, Zach Cox from Nesson is a good kid, and he knows what he's looking at. Put up on Twitter the fourth down play, Brady's last throw of the day, where he went to Edelman in the middle instead of Hogan down the sideline, who was coming clear. If I'm Brady and it's fourth and six and I'm not going to have much time, I'm going to go to Edelman too. I'm not going to look for Chris Hogan down the sideline in what's probably a less high percentage throw.
You probably saw the same screen grab we did, though, of the one
yeah.
play where Hogan was lined up wide right and literally there wasn't a defensive player within 20 yards of him.
Yep.
I mean, now the Tom Brady I've watched through the years is going to know, hey, you know what? I got a pretty good matchup over there. Maybe I don't need to go to Chris Hogan with my second or third read. Maybe that should be
I'm
my
just
first read.
Him right now. You're
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I talked to Phil Perry about this a lot because we all see the same things. And I think when you're there and you have the access, you try and glean things from what you see about interactions. Like, for instance, does Brady now hate Chris Hogan? Well, in talking to Phil, he's like, look, I see him in the locker room talking to each other and they're joking around. I mean, it's that small window where you look at, and it seems like, okay, they don't hate each other. But as Phil pointed out, if you're Chris Hogan, you're in a contract year. You got twin kids at home you just had. This is costing you money.
Mm.
So I don't blame him for being frustrated if he's open and the ball's not getting there. And again, I talked to Mayo about this for Quick Slants last night, and he said this is the kind of self-scouting stuff that if you're Ernie Adams and his staff, you cut all of these plays together on which Chris Hogan appears to be open, and you say, Tom, this is what we're seeing. And I said, wouldn't they have done that earlier? He said, they could have, but you're so into the next game that you're game plan oriented. This is the week that they should really be up to their eyeballs and trying to say, these are the things we're missing on.
Do you think if it was up to Tom Brady, would he rather have this year's backs, receivers, and tight ends or last year's backs, receivers, tight ends?
Last year's in a walk.
Hmm.
Even without Edelman.
That's what I was
going to
say, even without Edelman, yeah.
You'll have Amendola. You'll have a full-speed Gronkowski. You'll have Deion Lewis, who's a machine in terms of production, James White still being James White and not having to be the hub of the offense, which he's been. And Brandon Cooks, who can, we'll add it all up at the end, and it's not a fair fight because Gordon got here a little bit later, but Brandon Cooks is going to end up, for all his limitations, he was at, 72 catches, 1,100 yards, plus another 200 in pass interferences.
Right.
I mean, that was a big decision to move him when the other pieces were going out.
As we sit here right now, as far as quarterback rating is concerned, Tom Brady is 16th in the league. Dead flat middle of the National Football League among quarterbacks. That's not Tom Brady. How much of that is his responsibility? How much of that is other factors?
Good question. You have to say that the buck stops with the guy who releases the football. So I don't want to absolve him too much, but I would say it's 33% on each of them. 33% on the people around him and injuries. 33%, and it all goes back to injuries. I mean, the tackles were embarrassing the other day. And even on the plays where they lost you. So 33% all the way around. What could Brady prevent if he were maybe a little more mobile? He might be inclined to extend a play a little bit longer to make the throw. But I also know that the Tom Brady who people say, oh, he's seeing ghosts, is also the Tom Brady that they would never say that about in January or late December or in a pivotal game. When Tom Brady decides to get rid of the ball on a regular basis before he takes a beating, those are games that he says, you know what, do I want to have a bruised sternum for the next 5 weeks because I decided to extend a 3rd and 4 against Mike Vrabel's defense in November? We don't want to get the thing out of here. And there were a few throws like that, especially the 3rd down throws down the sidelines to Gordon. Those, to me, were the on Brady decision-making throws. He's like, screw this. Look, I'm not going to throw it all to them. I'll throw it to the guy who might be able to win a 50-50 ball.
Now, we know that Brady's talked about playing until he's 45. He's talked about that a bunch of times. But he's also said if he's not good anymore, he doesn't want to play. And a 94 or 95 quarterback rating most years is really good. Like, it's in the top 3 to 5 every single year. But this year, if you're comparing him to, like Dale said, to the other quarterbacks in the league, like 100 is the new 90. You have guys that are like 120. It's just off the charts. If the season finishes something like this, and let's say it's not a Super Bowl appearance, do you think he feels like he's still locked in and is going to be coming back the next year?
1,000%. Because I think if you took Jared Goff and plopped him down in Foxborough and said, do damage, he'd be screwed.
Hmm.
And that's not even talking about the institutional knowledge. If you took Pat Mahomes and brought him in and said, do this, have a day, or even better, an even more fair fight, Drew Brees. Say, come on out and play in the elements. That's a whole
right.
different conversation.
Yeah, good luck.
But it really hasn't been an element-oriented year yet for Brady, but look, if you flipped him, what would Brady be? He would be what Brees is doing. And that's why Brady is going to look at it and say, it wasn't a fair fight, or it hasn't been so far. Give him Shaq Mason, give him Gronk at what Gronk should be. Give him Sony Michel, not just coming off the injury. Give him Trent Brown without diarrhea. And give him Marcus Cannon with what, you know, appears to be both working arms, and then we'll talk about it. But I just don't think that a team that wins six straight games and loses this past week, mm-hmm. to a team that does have similarities to both Detroit and Jacksonville in that they're not afraid of the Patriots, I would tamp it down. And I should have tamped it down. When I put out the tweet the other day, Dale, saying that, look, I've seen a higher number of throws from Tom Brady today that have no real chance of being completed than I usually do or maybe ever, I needed to wait because I have to understand people are going to seize on that and say, Cliff, decline is here. What was the fine print to it? And I looked at the fine print. When you look at some of the throws that Brady did make, especially the stuff over the middle with high velocity, accurate as hell, that were dropped by Jacob Hollister or Josh Gordon, the recipe changes as well.
Rich and I have had this disagreement over the last couple of weeks. Your assessment, I know that we disagree about something.
Shocking.
What's your assessment of how Josh Gordon has performed with the Patriots?
It's been well better than expected. But they're bumping up against some of the limitations that you're going to encounter when he becomes a centerpiece of your offense. He should still be more complimentary, and they're relying on him as a centerpiece.
Sounds like Keith won, Dale nothing, Tom.
Keith wins.
Thank you.
What do you think?
I think he's been good. I think he, if you expect him to come in and be the number one target on the team, then that, I think, is unrealistic. I thought he was going to come in here, you know, maybe an extra touchdown or two, but I thought this was pretty much what it was going to be. He's had a couple of drops, which are unfortunate, but that
I thought he was going to catch the ball better.
I think he's been pretty good.
That's a new habit of his.
Well,
he was unbelievable early on.
Do you cut him any slack for all the finger problems that he's got? It's going to be hard to catch with your hands when you have broken fingers or dislocated fingers.
Temporarily, I'm going to.
Okay.
Because, you know, Dale, don't you agree, Dale, that he was ridiculous with the slant catching early on?
Michael Irvin was talking to us about that and talking about his ability to catch those slant passes with his fingertips and how hard it is. And then I saw him stop catching the ball.
Yeah, and the fingers, I think, have to be involved. So whatever he has to do, I don't care if he has to titanium, whatever. It's time for him. He's at the juncture in his career where he can't be somebody that the Patriots have to go away from. I mean, he's making set. It all comes back to business. I mentioned it with Hogan. We're going to talk about it over the course of several months with Gronkowski. It comes back to it with Gordon. He's making $700,000 this year. He's too talented to leave the NFL with his pockets turned inside out and say, I don't know what I'm going to do for the next 50 years hopefully 60, 70 years before I'm underground. But I didn't make any of the money that I could have made when I was in the NFL. So he's got to make sure that whatever he can do, if financial security for himself and little Gordon's down the road is important, that he maximizes now.
Nice job on the deep dive. It was fun to read.
We
appreciate the time as always.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
See
you, Tom.
Tommy Kern, NBC Sports Boston. If you get a chance, the piece ran yesterday. Really well done.
That's great.
I mean, literally every single pass. How was the protection? How was the throw? How was the receiver? And the specifics of, you know, oh, he should have had that one. Or Tom made a bad throw on that one. Or Tom put it exactly where he should have put it on that one, and the receiver didn't do the job. It was very interesting.
Yeah, it was very well done.
Follow Dale on Twitter at Dale E. Arnold. This is Dale and Keith on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
What else? I don't want to give too much away, but
what
else you got coming up here at the top of the hour?
What else you got?
I've got maybe the biggest sports fan in the history of Earth.
Is that right?
The biggest sports fan in the history of Earth. We'll get to that, though, at the top of the hour.
Sports fan? Just a fan of sports?
Oh, yeah. Well,
of a particular team?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, easily. I mean, we'll talk about it
All right.
I'm kind of looking forward to
good.
It. You may have heard the story already, but if you haven't, I'll tell you the story at the top of the hour.
All good.
And you'll maybe get a kick out of it.
All right.
Let's get back to the calls with you guys. Paul is in Braintree. Hey, Paul, how you doing?
How you doing, gentlemen?
What's going on?
You know, the thing with Tom Brady, and this is just my opinion, he's played at the highest level a quarterback can play at his career. So even the slightest drop off, 5 or 6%, is going to be a lot more noticeable with him than it would be with somebody else. Just like when John Elway won his 2 Super Bowls and retired, he wasn't the same guy he was 4 or 5 years ago. So maybe the downward decline is there, but because he's been so great for so long, even a small drop-off will be more noticeable than a guy like a Ben Roethlisberger. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, when all of a sudden, yeah, you're used to being a top 2 or 3 quarterback, and then when you're outside that, yeah, it is a little bit more glaring, sure.
Yes, he's been so great for so long that even a slight drop-off is going to be much more pronounced than somebody else.
And I think what's really going against him, and again, we're just pointing out that he's not as good as he was last year, but by no means is he bad or is
we're
he
not
done.
Saying he's
I'm
done.
Not,
we're not
doing
saying
that.
The only guy who said he's gone off the cliff are dopes like Kellerman and Rob Parker.
No. We're not going there.
And because we play their cuts to mock them, it's
we
not like we're yeah.
It.
It's
yeah.
not like
no,
we're
no,
advocating
no, no.
Their point of view.
No, I'm not saying he's done. But I think what's working against him is if you just took this season and ignored everybody else, you'd say, ooh, 17 touchdowns, 7 picks, 7-3 record for the team, quarterback rating of around 95. That's pretty good. But the NFL in 2018, you got more guys completing 68-70% of their passes. You have more guys throwing for 2 touchdowns every single game. You have more guys not throwing interceptions, having QB ratings in the hundreds. Like, that's more common. So now all of a sudden, where he's used to being at the top of just about all these different statistical categories, he's not, and that is surprising. He's not having, like, the Peyton Manning drop-off from, 2014 to 2015, that is as significant of a drop-off as you will ever see.
Oh, that was a cliff.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, that was the cliff.
That is a cliff.
But there was a physical problem there.
Yeah,
you knew what the issue was.
He got benched. Think about that. He got benched. Brady is so far from that, it's not even funny. Like, there's no consideration at all. Like, that is not even close to happening. Whereas with Manning, you're like, oh, my God, I don't think he can safely take a snap. Like, he was so bad that year, but the defense was so good, and they were able to win. But that he had more picks than touchdowns that last year. He was a disaster.
Michael's in South Boston. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up?
Hey, you guys were talking earlier about Gronk, Edelman, and Brady walking away at the end of the year. Edelman and Gronk, I could understand. What would it do to Brady's reputation to walk away with a year left on his contract and us having no quarterback at all?
Yeah, I think that would hurt him. I mean, as bulletproof as he is, that
right.
People would turn on him. I don't think it's going to happen, though. I think Tommy Curran...
he said 1,000%.
He made me feel a whole lot better when he said, no, he's 100%, 1,000%. You're right. 1,000%
right.
He's back. So I feel a whole lot better. But just to answer your hypothetical, yeah, I think it would hurt him because, especially if Garoppolo returns healthy and has a good year, I think people would see
right.
that and be like, really? 1 year of this guy? But
yeah.
Thankfully, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it would hurt Gronk or Edelman at all if they did.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, Edelman,
Gronk,
no.
Gronk's got the bad back. High probability that Edelman suffers from CTE. They're both young guys. Totally understandable.
Yeah, I could see those guys walking away for sure.
I mean, I guess the point would be, and we're talking about a theoretical that we don't think will happen, but
right.
let's just say for the sake of argument that Tom Brady holds a press conference down at Gillette, you know, the 1st of March, and tearfully says, listen, I wanted to play till I was 45. I planned to play till I was 45. But I just wasn't the same quarterback that I've been in the past, and this team deserves better than that. And you know, I don't think the turn factor would be quite as dramatic, especially considering how much he's brought to Patriots fans
but
over the years.
But then, you know, week 4 when Brian Hoyer or Danny Etling's taking snaps, people would start to get angry. But no, I mean,
see, we both
overall,
assume it wouldn't be either of those guys.
It'd be somebody else. It'd be the draft pick du jour or whatever else you have. But people. Would still, I mean, I would hope be able to put it in perspective about how you had a chance to see the greatest quarterback of all time play for almost 20 years for your team. But if it's a really rough year one, you might question, you know, could you have played another year?
Nathan's on the cell phone. Hey, Nathan, how you doing? Well, let me hit that. There we go. Hey, Nathan.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. Hey, I'm sorry about that. Must have a bad connection.
No, not your fault. That
hey,
was me.
Don't sweat it.
Well, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I was questioning about Terrell Pryor. Buffalo cut him, and he's kind of like a sneaky kind of Danny Amendola-style catcher. What do you think about New England picking him up, like, off the scrap heap as a extra wide receiver. And my second question was, when players go on IR for the rest of the season, does that money come off the cap where maybe we could get Pryor in and it would just be like a swap?
I'm not sure Terrell Pryor's got a whole bunch of game left.
Or I don't think it would cost you a lot of money either to get him.
I don't think the money's the issue. I think the talent and what's left in the tank is the issue.
Yeah, if you get cut by the Bills, I feel like that's not a great sign. I mean, it's worth a shot, but I think we've seen guys have a really tough time picking it up mid-season.
A wide receiver showing up for the 11th game of the season, being able to help out, probably not a very good choice.
Maybe unlikely.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Whenever a wide receiver's name comes up and you think that you're lacking in weapons, and they may be, you know, you think, well, why don't they go get that guy? Dez Bryant, and I know he's hurt now, but I'm saying, you know, how come they didn't go out and get Bryant? You pointed out correctly that, you know, you could make the case that Josh Gordon has probably performed better than any wide receiver who's been a pickup during the season.
Yeah, tough to
maybe
do.
Ever.
Even in camp, you know, those guys have a hard time, like, you know, and also if someone like Terrell Pryor, would he be a better option than Philip Dorsett or Chris Hogan, who he doesn't throw to? Like, I feel like there are guys on the team that, you know, they're better. Like, you have better receivers right now than Terrell Pryor.
And I'm just not sure that one would
fix
things for you.
Although he might be the second best quarterback on the team.
We could do that. You could bring him in to do that, I guess. Mark's in Brookline. Hey, Mark.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey. Doing a great job, by the way, Keith. Love your work there on the show, and Dale, as usual, high
Thank
quality.
You. Thanks.
I just wanted to point out one thing statistically here. I think you got to be a little careful when you start using the argument, and you know it's reasonable to point out that other quarterbacks are doing better in the league, but that's a direct line to other people are doing better. The tide's kind of rising, so you can't really hold that one on Tom. So if you're actually pointing that out, I think it's worth mentioning that that's an argument against any indictment on Brady, though I do think
Mark, don't you think that if all these quarterbacks' numbers are going up, including another super veteran like Drew Brees, if those numbers are going up, shouldn't you expect his to go up as well and sort of be still in the top of the league?
Yeah, if it's a pure system thing, so I think you can separate that out again too, because you know now I think you have to start looking at who we're talking about here too. I mean, you get a Holmes guy there, Kansas City guy, whatever. You know, new guy in the league, doing very well.
All right, well, Brees and Rivers and Ryan have been there forever, and they're all having really good years.
No, fair enough. Like I said, but I think you still have to separate them out. In other words,
Separate how?
Well, I mean, your point is good. Like I said, it could be a system thing with respect to other ones going up. I don't know if that's true across the board. I mean, I haven't seen the data that says people that have been there for, you know, 10 years, veterans or something, those are all going up at this rate.
I'm just saying, like, it's a mix. It's everybody. I mean, if you're 16th in the league, that means half the league is performing better than you. If you're just taking the one metric, I'm only looking at QB ratings, at least that compiles a whole bunch of stuff. But guys like Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Russell Wilson, Matt Ryan, Philip Rivers, Drew Brees, they've all been there a long time. They're all doing really well. Patrick Mahomes, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Mitch Trubisky, for God's sakes. These young guys are also having better statistical years.
The other problem is, and I'm not going to go back through the numbers again because you know it's kind of your eyes glaze over, but we did this earlier. Not only is Brady's numbers, not only do they suffer in comparison to the quarterbacks now, they suffer in comparison to his numbers last year.
Yeah.
So, yes, the other quarterbacks are playing better. I understand that. But Brady's also not only is he not playing better like the other quarterbacks are, he's actually playing worse. His numbers are actually worse.
Yeah, I mean, that's another way
His interception rate is up slightly.
Just year to year, yeah.
His touchdown rate is down. You know, his completion percentage is down. So, yes, everybody else is better.
And he's worse.
But he's also worse.
So add that together. That's a little bit more alarming. And I forget about the system. Like, they all have their own system. Like, I don't really care about that. Like, I'm not going to hold Brady's system against him, but I'm also not going to then say, oh, well, look at, you know, what Kirk Cousins is doing. Like, no. I'm just using the one stat. They've all played either 9 or 10 games to this point, and right now we're not used to seeing him in the middle of the pack, and that's where he is.
Chuck's in New Hampshire. Hey, Chuck, how you doing?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, Chuck. Doing great.
So we've got a lot of talk about the statistics with Brady, and certainly the numbers don't lie. But I was wondering if you could look at some statistics that might provide a little bit more of a fair view on Brady's performance this year. So all the quarterbacks that you've mentioned thus far, Mahomes, Breeze, Wentz, all the guys that are doing well and that are up, they've all got running backs right now and, let's say, a receiving core that's been relatively healthy. How does Brady look? How do his statistics look the 4 weeks of this year when they had Gronkowski on the field and Sony Michel was running well? I think Brady's last 3 weeks have certainly hurt his stats, but that may very well have to do with the supporting cast of characters and not so much the overall decline in his play. I just think the comparison against other quarterbacks right now that are up, I don't think it's fair. Breeze has got Kamara, and, you know, Kansas City's got a great running game. I just think that there's something there. I want to get your thoughts on that, guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you could do that to death, can't you? But, I mean, Matt Ryan hasn't had Devontae Freeman for a lot of
the everybody's
year.
Playing without somebody.
Right?
You know, Le'Veon Bell hasn't even shown up for Pittsburgh.
Roethlisberger's played a whole season without maybe the best running back in the league. So, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, we just went over it. Devontae Adams is pretty good. The rest of his team sucks.
Yeah.
You know, so some guys have to make do with more. And I know Gronk's missed games, but he's also been out there. And, you know, Julian Edelman was out for the first four games, but he's been out there ever since. James White, we're giving him a lot of credit, and we should. He's been out there all year.
We've said before, find you somebody who loves their team more than Jerry Thornton loves the Patriots.
Right.
I might have the guy.
Is that right?
Yeah. What else you got is coming up next. Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith on WEEI.
All right, a couple of stories that we might not have gotten to over the course of the day.
What else you got?
Timing is everything in this world. I'll start with this one. So in Wayne, New Jersey, after the New York Jets game, they lost to the Buffalo Bills 41-10. And a guy named Christopher Grayshock of West Milford, New Jersey, was arrested and charged at about 5:15 p.m. after he rear-ended another vehicle.
Okay.
He when responding officers came to, you know, check out the accident and arrest him, he said, "I drank too much because the Jets suck."
Well,
he had an open bottle of whiskey and suspected marijuana in his car. Besides the DUI count, he was also charged with a couple of other things as well. Assault by auto. Would you believe it or not? So here's my thing, okay? If the Jets drive you to drink, sir, I got no issues with that. If I was a Jets fan, I might be tempted to, you know, maybe have a little too much to drink as well. Don't drive the damn car.
Don't do it.
You have all you want when you're at the stadium. You get yourself an Uber. You have a friend drive you.
Pass out.
All of that's good.
Yeah.
I drank too much because the Jets suck.
Will that hold up in court?
I would think that it would.
Give it a shot in the New Jersey area.
Oh, no. I think it's going to convict him.
Oh, okay.
I drank too much as the party's going to have a hard time getting over.
Yeah, he admitted it. He came clean, though.
I kind of appreciate the honesty in a weird sort of way.
Tell him what it is.
He loves his team so much.
Loves
them. Drank so much because the Jets suck.
Yeah, they do.
What else you got?
Well, so, Dale, last week we told you about how Fortnite and the NFL had come together, and you can now wear your favorite team skin in the game. So it's a game. Everybody has their own character, and they have all these different what they call skins, basically these little just get-ups.
Like uniforms.
Oh, all these different uniforms. Yeah. Do whatever you want. You mix and match. A couple of them are free. A lot of them you have to pay for. So every NFL team now is involved, so you can wear a Patriots uniform head to toe. You know, the helmet, the jersey, the pants, the whole nine, cleats, you know, Eagles, Bills, whoever you want to be. Well, people have taken that and they've started to post images of such things as, oh, Patriots number 81 holding a gun.
Oh,
there's that one. There's also a New York Giants, Jason Pierre-Paul, with a box of fireworks. That's a good one.
Oh, that's just...
Yep, we've seen the Colin Kaepernick taking a knee, because one of the things you can do, one of the emotes you can do is take a knee. So you got Colin Kaepernick taking a knee. Michael Vick, they have an old, Falcons number 7, and you can have a dog on your back.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, how about the best one? You can be a Buffalo Bills 32 with a bloody knife.
Terrible.
That's probably a little much.
They're all out there.
I know Patrick Mahomes was talking about somebody killed him wearing his
uniform,
and he said, I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, pretty good.
It's a little graphic at times.
Somebody runs by and wearing the 15 Chiefs. He's like, wait a minute. Oh, hold on a second. That guy had no idea either that he was able to eliminate Patrick Mahomes while playing Fortnite. But yeah, so that didn't take very long either. Like, those skins were out for a day, and I already saw on Twitter all these posts.
Have you bought any of these?
I have not. You know, I'm out on Fortnite. Our guy Shime Time, though, who's in today. Shime, you get any of these NFL skins?
I definitely have. You only have to buy one, and then you get every NFL team and number.
Oh, is that right?
How much is
yes.
it?
Yeah, how much does it cost to buy one?
So this skin, I believe, is like 2,000 V-Bucks, which is their form of currency. So that's like about... just over $20.
The $20, you
2,000
get every
V-Bucks. It sounds like the yen. You know, it's
who
like
are you? Yeah, V-Bucks.
50,000 yen is $4.
I've been rocking out with Teddy Bruschi a lot lately.
Oh, the 50.
Teddy
good,
Bruschi.
Good call by you.
Yeah, I've been bouncing back and forth between
the
two.
Oh, that's good. Nice defensive player. I like that. That's pretty good.
So, have you, Shime, I almost hesitate to ask this. Have you made any of these... you know, like Michael Vick with the dog on his back or any of those?
No, I was asked to for entertainment purposes, and I denied.
He has standards.
I decline. Yeah. Well, good for you, Sean.
I may play a lot of video games, but I do have standards.
Ooh, very nice.
Well,
very profound.
As long as we all have standards.
Yes.
We got to get out of here. Tomorrow, Peter King will be with us. Daron Harmon will be with us. We'll have Bruins game to talk about, a Celtics game to talk about. We'll know who the Cy Young Award winner is, and we won't care.
It's a thirsty Thursday tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Is that what we're doing?
Does that mean you're going to drink while you're in here?
That's the plan.
OMF is coming up next. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by.